Matthew Leckie puts Australia into the quarterfinals.
That is a magnificent goal by Owen Mabil.
Oh, Matty Ryan, wow! Keeping it out of the top corner like Superman.
Hello and welcome to another Soccer Is podcast, where we go one-on-one with your favourite players to keep you connected with the Socceroos. My name is Michael Puttaflam. On the latest episode, we chat with Socceroo cap number 606, Harry Suter. At 22 years old, the 198cm defender has had a breakthrough season in the English Championship with Stoke. The Socceroo started in close to all of the Black Cats league matches and earned high praise from the club's fans and coaching staff for his performances on the pitch. On this podcast, Suter talks through his campaign with Stoke and explains his aspirations for the coming season. He also looks forward to an exciting period for the men's national teams, which include Socceroos matches in June and Olleroos Olympic Games in July. Without further ado, here's the full chat with Harry.
Harry, thank you very much for joining us. Do you want to start off by telling us a bit about how you are and how everything is going over in Stoke?
Yeah, all good. I think the just general life restrictions and that were lifted yesterday. So it was the first time people were allowed out to the pubs and non-essential shops and that were back open. So kind of back to a little bit of normality anyway. I think we've got to wait another couple of months or so for it to be open, you know, fully. But no, football-wise, it's on a personal level, it's going really well. Played, you know, most of the games this season, which, you know, I didn't think would happen at the, you know, start of the season. Didn't even know if I was going to be at Stoke at the start of the season. I think I've said before, was probably planned to go on loan and stuff again. So no, I'm just delighted how my first season's kind of panned out. You know, we could be doing better in the league position. You know, we were up there, you know, before Christmas, and then we kind of tailed off. So you know, I think next season we can get, you know, a few boys back from injury and stuff, and you know, really push and try and get in the playoff positions.
So as you said, it's been a pretty awesome season for yourself in the Championship, you know, 30-plus appearances, few assists, even a goal. What have you kind of made of your performances and kind of your personal development this season? What do you kind of put it down
to? Yeah, I've been pleased, you know, with a few of the games. You know, there's things that I can do better, things I'm working on, you know, daily. But, you know, overall, you know, I can't be too disappointed in myself. Like you said there, I played a lot of games, and it's something that I didn't think I was going to do. You know, all credit to the gaffer for, you know, believing in me as a young player, as a young defender. It's not easy to do, you know, putting your faith in a young centre half, because, you know, normally they're the most experienced positions and most experienced players play. So, you know, credit to him for, you know, giving me an opportunity and, you know, sticking by me as well.
And he hasn't been shy in, you know, some of the praise that he's given you. Month or two back after you scored your first goal, he said something along the lines of that you have all the tributes to go to the top of the game. It says basically on the coaches and managers to help you do that. And if they help you do that, then you'll in turn help the club. So, you know, what do you kind of make of that assessment? Do you kind of feel that at the moment you have everything at your disposal in terms of like your physical attributes, your attributes when you play the game, and as well as the coaches around you, that's going to be able to help you go to the top level of the game?
Yeah, obviously it's nice to hear, especially from your manager. I know that in training and you know, in house, he's I wouldn't say he's what's the word to say here? He's not a lot of praise, but he's always on me. You know, always, you know, things I can do better, which I love as a player. You know, you like, you know, praise as a player, but I think I'm someone that responds best to not necessarily criticism, but, you know, things I could do better, and it seems to get the best out of me. So, you know, in that sense, you know, it's worked really well this season. You know, in terms of, you know, improving as a player, you know, I think the coaching staff and the manager that we've got at Stoke, you know, have really helped me do that. You know, I think my, you know, performances this season, you know, stepping up from League One last season, you know, even when I look back to the first couple of games I played, you know, this season, there was, you know, there's the things that I've improved on, you know. Yeah, what was I going to say? Just absolutely lost track of what I was going to say. things that I've improved on, you know, since the first couple of games. You know, it's down to, you know, individual coaching, you know, team structures, you know, stuff like that, that I didn't really necessarily know how his team wanted to play, you know, when I played the first couple of games. But, you know, as everything in life, you know, the more you do things, you know, the more drills we do in training about how we ought to start the game, how we, you know, how we press from the front, how we try and play out, you know, the more I got comfortable with it. And, you know, I got, you know, comfortable with the players that I played around me, you know, because this is the first season that I played for Stoke. You know, I've been on loan a couple of times, so it's the first, you know, real opportunity that I got to play with the players that, that we have. And, you know, I think, you know, credit to them as well. They've made, made me a better player.
Do you feel like you've seen a noticeable step up between, you know, some of the loans that you've had and actually being now at Stoke, playing in the Championship?
I think the loans definitely benefited me, you know, playing the amount of games I did out on loan. I think I needed that because, you know, I really don't think I was ready to play, you know, Championship football a couple of years ago. I know I didn't really know if I was ready to play League One football a couple of years ago. So, you know, credit to, you know, Joey Barton and everyone at Fleetwood, you know, for giving me that chance. And, you know, there's some really, really good players in the Championship, you know, especially the top end. You know, seeing Norwich and Watford, I think are comfortably going to go up, you know, the automatic places. You know, it's been a demanding league. It's a tough league, really physical league as well. So, you know, it's every, you know, Saturday, Tuesday and a week off and Saturday, Tuesday. So, you know, you've got to be really at it. And I think, you know, as a squad now, we know what it'll take to get up there. And that's something that hopefully we can do, you know, next season, really push for it.
Even through some of the quality of some of the players you've been coming up against, I'm sure, you know, there's not too many guys in the pitch who are bigger than you. So what's, you know, what's the reaction like when you're coming against some of these really good players for the first time and they kind of come up against you? What's their immediate reaction?
No, not much, to be fair. No, not really much, to be fair. Not really a lot of talking done the pitch. To be fair, you know, with the no crowds and stuff, you can kind of hear what everyone's really saying, you know. I've had some weird shouts anyway from some players, and there was one, you know, when the crowds did get loud back in for it, it was a strange one. It was about three or four games that like 25% of the crowd were allowed back in. I remember we were playing at QPR, and I think the ball went out for our goal kick, and I went to get the ball, and it's just this guy just looked me in the eye and went, "You should be in the circus." So I just burst out laughing. And oh God, that was you can't do anything else but laugh, really. So, you know, it's one of them things. I think I'm always going to get it, you know, because the height I am, there's always going to be a little bit of a joke there, but you know, I'm used to it now, and it's I do see the funny side.
And in terms of some of your teammates that you've got at the moment, you know, what's it like playing with some really experienced players, you know, guys like Joe Allen and the like?
No, it's brilliant. You know, you've only got to kind of look at their careers and what they've done. And it's just like, well, they've had some careers. You know, you look at Joe, you know, even Stephen Fletcher, who's been amazing, you know, for some of the young lads, especially me, since he's came in, just like little bits of advice you can ask them. And was it Danny Bath, James Chester? You know, you could go for a lot of them because we've got really, really good experienced pros in the team. And I think we've got a good group of youngsters as well. We've got about, you know, seven or eight young lads that are really trying to, you know, break through and play in the first team, mixed with a lot of older heads as well. So it's a good blend. I think that's what you kind of need in a team, you know, if you're going to, you know, try and do well. So, you know, I think, like I said, next season, you know, all the youngsters, that this is kind of maybe the first real season in the Championship. Next year, we'll have that little bit of experience. And we can always, you know, the good thing about the, you know, you can say that the older pros here, they're really approachable. You know, you can ask them about anything. And they are really, really good to the young players.
I guess in terms of your own development, is there anything particular that you want to focus on improving on in the next, you know, next season or two? Or is it just really now a matter of getting experience, playing as many games against toughest opponents as possible?
I think it's a bit of both, really. On a personal note and individually, you know, I can improve on, you know, every aspect of my game. You know, being the height I am, 6'7", you know, I really want to be scoring more goals. I've only scored one league goal this season, and I've had a lot of chances, and I've missed a couple of chances. The manager will tell you that. He'll be the first one to tell you that I've missed a lot of chances this season. So it's probably to be more, you know, dominant in the air, in both boxes. I feel like I'm dominant, you know, in my own box defending, but I can be a lot more dominant in the attacking half. And just everything, you know, my all-round game, you know, the way the manager wants us to play is, you know, trying to play it from the back. You know, so it's just working on little things, and everything really. You know, I don't think there's the perfect player, but you know, you're always just looking to improve and, you know, doing extras, you know, and after training, and it's only going to benefit, you know, the individual.
And I mean, your progress overall has definitely not been missed, and people have been sitting up and taking notice. You know, even the last few weeks, there's been, you know, different media reports linking you to Premier League clubs and whatnot. I won't ask you like about those reports or anything, but I guess for you, in terms of a goal, like how big a dream would it be to play in, you know, in the Premier League or a top league around the world? And how much of a goal is that something that you set for yourself?
Yes, I think it's every player wants to play at the highest level they can. You know, especially the Premier League, it's the most watched league in the world. It's, you know, it's one of the highest league in the world. So I think if you ask any player, they'd say they want to play in the Prem, but you know, there's only a certain people that get to do it. So, you know, it comes down to, you know, obviously your technical ability and, you know, who's willing to put in the work for it. You know, I certainly want to be playing there in the future. I want to play there with Stoke. I want to try and, you know, help the club get promoted, you know, back to where it should be. It's a Premier League club. And I think all the players at Stoke feel the same. You know, we're all working in the one direction to try and get the club back in the Premier League. You know, so that'd be a huge goal. You know, it's not going to happen this season, but hopefully next season's our year. And there's only one way to do that, and that's, you know, start next season by winning games and, you know, building the team culture that we're trying to build.
A couple months left of the season, but before too long, you'll hopefully be finally linking up with the Socceroos in Kuwait for 4 World Cup qualifiers in 12 days. I mean, the last time you played, scored a couple Socceroos goals. The time before that, you also scored a couple goals. That was 18 months ago. And I guess putting the goals to one side, when you step onto the field for the Socceroos once again, what can the fans expect to see from you?
I think they can, you know, hopefully see an improved player, a player that's, you know, developed throughout the course of that time, to become, you know, stronger and more confident in himself. And I think just a little bit more experience as well. You know, I'm still young, but, you know, I've played a few games now, and, you know, hopefully I can just bring that experience. And I'm just, you know, so excited to get back because, like you said, it's been a year and a half since, you know, we were all last together. And obviously there's been camps that have been cancelled that you're buzzing to get into. You're buzzing, you're looking forward to it for months and months, and obviously it got cancelled. You know, we were hoping to get in March and it got cancelled, and, you know, I think everyone was gutted about that. So, yeah, you know, really, really looking forward to June. You know, it's going to be 4 games in 12 days back to back. You know, every footballer just wants to be playing games. So, you know, I'm so excited for that. And hopefully we'll go through to the next stage with 4 games to play. I think we're on 4 wins just now. So, you know, hopefully we'll go through to the next stage and do the business there. And then, you know, if I'm selected for the Olympics team, then, you know, it'll be an honour, you know, to play at the Olympics. It was something I've always wanted to do since I was, you know, so young. It was my first memory really watching Olympics, kind of before I even played football. And, you know, growing up thinking, oh, there's no way I'll be, you know, ever in Olympics unless I started swimming or shot putting or something, you know. So I'm just, you know, looking forward to that if I'm selected. And it's, you know, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity really. So, you know, fingers crossed on there.
I mean, and both of those milestones, both the World Cup qualifiers and Olympics, you know, there's, I think today marks 50 days till the first game on June 3rd. And today's also 100 days until the start of the Olympics. So it's really not too far away from, yeah, some really exciting times in Australian football. And I guess overall, as you've been, as the lads have kind of been starting to get excited about the prospect of the games coming back, what's the communication been like between the players and I guess the staff, and what kind of preparations and talks been going on at the moment?
Yeah, no, there's been a few Zoom calls now and again. Obviously, we were looking forward to getting the camp in March, but obviously it didn't happen. Obviously, everyone's at their respective clubs, working really hard, hoping to get selected. Obviously, when June does come, I think the camp that, the culture that has been brought in, obviously long before I was, first went there, it's been really good. Everyone's buzzing to get involved, buzzing to see each other again. And I think that wasn't always the case. So, credit to the staff and the players that have kind of developed that. Like you said, it's been one of them where obviously it's not ideal with, the current situation, but you just got to look to the positives, you've got to look to the future. Just keep smiling, getting on with it.
Mate, we're going to jump into some short kind of quick fire questions. I'll ask a bunch of random, and you can either give me, a couple word answer, or if you feel like there's a bit of an explainer, then you can give that.
Okay, yeah, no worries.
All right. Do you remember the first football game that you ever watched?
First football game I ever watched? Probably, it was the World Cup final in 2006, would it have been? It would have been between France and Italy. That's the first I can remember watching the whole game. Just eyes glued on the telly. I think we were at one of my mum and dad's friends' houses. And obviously I'd been to football games and stuff and that before, my local team, Brechin City, but that was the first game I can remember really, really watching. It was just no better game than the World Cup final, really.
What a match. Actually, I remember being in one of the snowfields about 6 hours from Sydney, and it was being shown on SBS, which is like, it was the broadcaster that used to show kind of all the football. And in the whole ski village, there was like regular TVs did not have this channel. So we had to, at 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning, you had to walk a few Ks like in the pit, like, kind of the snow going to one of my dad's mates to like sit around this little tiny TV. But yeah, I remember that game. Yeah, that was something.
Great, everything really in the game, wasn't it? Sending off to Dan's headbutt and, late goal, late winner. Yeah, it was an incredible game. And I think I must have been seven at the time. I just remember thinking, wow, that's the pinnacle.
So another one. Do you have any memories of Socceroos versus Uruguay, which was the year before? Do you remember hearing about it?
No, I obviously heard about it. I would have probably watched that game, but being so young, I don't really remember it. Obviously heard about it, from my mum and stuff. Obviously she was really excited with it. Every Australian would be. Obviously, it was kind of drilled into me at an early age that was my team in the World Cup. Obviously, because Scotland never qualified. Obviously, since I was born, so that was always my team at the World Cup that I supported.
So, have you got a favourite goal that the Socceroos have scored at a World Cup over the time that you've
would have been. Tim Cahill's volley against Holland, Ryan McGowan's pass. I was with Gowser at Dun United. Obviously, he was a first team player and I was still a youth team player, but he was really good with the young boys, and he had a few stories to tell and stuff. And I think the obviously a lot of people have seen the video about how he was third choice right back or something, and they looked at him and he was like, oh no, we've got to play him and that. No, it was brilliant. Obviously the pass and then the goal kind of speaks for itself, really, doesn't it? To do that on a World Cup stage is pretty unbelievable.
Have you got a favourite Socceroo of all time?
Favourite Socceroo of all time? Probably not of all time, really. I just, the big names, when I was growing up that were always playing in the Prem and stuff, they were just always the ones you kind of looked out for. Cahill, Viduka, Harry Kuehl, the big stars, really. when you watch the Prem, you always kind of pointed out them guys. So I wouldn't say I've got a kind of favourite, just the collective.
Which of the games you've played in so far has been your favourite soccer's game? Might be a simple question.
Probably have to be my debut, really. Loving me forever. I didn't really know I was kind of going to be playing. And then obviously to learn that I'm starting, and kind of my main goal was just to try and keep a clean sheet. And obviously the goals were an added bonus. It was just to kind of play well to represent your country and see how, obviously I've said it before, see how proud my mum was and stuff. Made it really, really special for me. And obviously they couldn't come across, but it was on the FaceTime to them when I got back in the room and stuff. And no, it was just a really, really nice couple of days.
Your experiences so far, who do you think the funniest soccerer you've come in contact with is?
The funniest soccerer I've come in contact with? There's a few of them. I think Bales is good. Obviously, I've shared a couple of fights with him, coming across from the UK and stuff. Brandon O'Neill, I get a good laugh of him. And probably Jimmy Jago. He's quite funny. Yeah, no, I do like him. He's got a few jokes and stuff, a few stories to tell.
What's the best phrase that you've picked up playing football? Could be, from a foreigner in a different language, or it could be something more Aussie, something that just kind of you just love to
probably know your role, which is a bit of a funny one, to be fair. It was when I was at Fleetwood, as a centre half, I tried to kind of like dribble the ball out and do a few kind of turns in the middle of the park, and I got tackled, and the team nearly went up and scored, and then I turned around, and I don't know if it was the gaffer or the assistant at the time, but yeah, I got shouted down, "Know your fucking role." And my role definitely wasn't to be dribbling the ball out in the middle of the pitch anyway. That's the end game. So that one's kind of stuck with me, yeah. And I've told that a few times.
Have you got a favourite football moment that you've watched or been a part of?
That I've watched or been a part of. Let me think. Probably watching my brother score when he was 16 against Aberdeen for Dundee United. I think that they were both going for second place at the time in the league. It was kind of late on in the season, and it was a massive game at Tannadice, and he started the game, and he scored. I think that's the most kind of just euphoric moment I remember. I was with my pals watching the game, and it was such a good moment, to see the team winning, and obviously knowing your brother, scoring. I think I was 14 at the time. So he was only a couple of years older than me, playing men's football and scoring. That was probably one of the best moments that I've experienced. Personal one, but yeah, that'll stick with me.
How special is it to like have your brother also playing professional football and just being able to have that support network where you can, bounce your experiences off of each other?
Yeah, it's great. Obviously, that we grew up at the same club, Dundee United. Before obviously he moved to Hearts and I moved to Stoke. It's funny because when we were at the same club, we didn't really speak much. He was in the first team changing room, I was still in the youth team changing room. Didn't really speak about football much. Obviously didn't live together. He had his flat, I was still in the digs. I was obviously home at the weekends. He was away with the first team. But it wasn't until obviously he moved to Hearts and then I moved down south that we actually started to speak a lot more. It's really good. Obviously, he's just came back from his third Achilles injury. which he started his first game the other day in 400 and something days. So buzzing that he's back, because he's had a really, really tough time with injury. He's still young, still only 24. So, you know, I'm just delighted that he's back and back playing football. Yeah, just really, really pleased for him, and hopefully now he can kick on.
You guys are both so young. Who knows? One day it could be, you know, Australia against Scotland and the two of you lining
up. Hopefully, Arnie's joked about a little friendly. Chattel Grand's got a friendly, so you never know. You never know.
A couple more, mate. So is there kind of a couple of pieces of advice throughout your career so far that you've received that you know, have made a really big difference to yourself that you kind of hold on to?
I remember probably the one that I go with every day is just, you know, not live every day as your last, but just enjoy what you're doing and realize how fortunate that you are. You know, even today I was, you know, out training for a couple of hours and it was sunny. I know there's people, you know, working on building sites, you know, in offices and stuff, and you just got to realize and look how fortunate and how lucky you can be that you're in the job that you're in and you're getting paid to do it as well. You know, it was my dream since I was a kid, and to be in the position I am, you know, getting paid to play football, it's incredible, really. You know, I just cherish every moment of it. You know, you don't know how long it's going to last. I love what I do. You know, I wouldn't swap it for anything in the world. And I'm in a really fortunate position. So it's kind of that one, just, you know, live every day as your last, really. I know it's probably a generic one, but that's the one I go by.
That's perfect answer, mate. And last one, what's your, I guess, dream for yourself and the Socceroos in Australian football? In terms of what you want to achieve over, you know, over the next few years or over your career at the Socceroos?
Well, and with the Socceroos, it's to, you know, get through the group stages of the World Cup, to play in the World Cup and to get through the group stages, to play in the Olympics, which is, you know, so close, you know, a really achievable dream, which, you know, not many people can say, you know, they've achieved one of their dreams. So hopefully, you know, if I'm selected, I'll be able to do that. And just to play at the highest level I can, you know, keep working hard. I know that, you know, so many boys, even I know personally, that, you know, were, you know, so talented, but maybe didn't put in, you know, the work ethic that's required, and maybe aren't playing as a higher level than they are. It's just to work, keep working at your game, work so hard, and, you know, hopefully I'll be playing, you know, the highest level one day.
Mate, thank you very much. We'll let you get back to watching the football. And
not a problem at all. Get back to my dog, and I don't know where she's gone.
I'm sure Socceroos
fans. Change some socks somewhere, probably.
I'm sure Socceroos fans are eagerly, yeah, waiting to see you back on the pitch, both in the qualifiers and hopefully at the Olympics as well. So all the best, mate.
Thanks for listening to the Socceroos podcast with guest Harry Suter. To learn more about Harry and other Socceroos, head to socceroos.com.au as well as the social channels for the latest news and videos on the team. Tune in next time for the Socceroos podcast and let us know on social media if there's players and questions you want answered. Until then, goodbye.
Matthew Leckie puts Australia into the quarterfinals.
That is a magnificent goal by Owen Mabil.
Oh, Murray Ryan, wow! Camping it out of the top corner like Superman.